Glory to God. Well, let's go ahead and get started. Open up to Proverbs chapter 20. And then we're going to go to 1 John chapter 3, if you want to put a marker there, and then Romans chapter 2. And we're going to get in a lot in one session, I think. I think we're going to call tonight's session the Candle of the Lord, because we're talking about His leadership and following Him into revival. Sometimes when you've been a Christian for a long time, if you're not careful, you start overcomplicating things. And really, Paul talks about the simplicity that's in Christ. And following Him is not as hard as we've made it out to be. Praise God. So Proverbs 20, verse 27, is in Dave's book, The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power, he describes this as being a prophecy, really. But it says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Now, the problem with that is in Adam, his candle got put out. when he disobeyed God and his spirit became dark, his candle was unlit. There was a candle there, but there was no light to walk by. In fact, he became a child of darkness, it says. And the soul had to take preeminence to restrain that dark candle, if you want to know the truth of it. So, but when you get born again, God relights your candle. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And so for us in our generation, or let's say it this way, our dispensation that we live in, we have to learn to walk by that light. Now, I said go to 1 John, but before we even go there, go to Big John, Gospel of John, chapter 1. Hallelujah. And verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life." Now notice, "in Him was life, and the life was the light of men." See, that light, that same Spirit in Romans chapter 8, it talks about that same Spirit that quickened Jesus from death to life. That's that same life that was imparted to you when you got born again. And that life becomes your light. That life becomes your light. And even in the very beginning, I mean, I keep mentioning Ephesians chapter 4, where it talks about that new man, which is created. And that means from the get-go, the instant you're born again, that new creature on the inside of you is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, let's go back to those thrilling days of yesteryear when Gary was first born again. I was 33 years old, so I was in a galaxy far away, a time long ago, you know. That was a while back. But anyway, knelt in my living room and got born again. And to be honest with you, mine was one of the most unemotional conversions you could ever imagine. And I was hoping that when I got saved, that the ceiling would peel back and liquid sunshine would pour into the room, and perhaps I'd feel the brush of an angel's wing on my cheek, you know, and Gabriel's trumpet. And I'm telling you, it was the most non-emotional. I didn't feel anything. In fact, I did hear something. I heard a voice talking with me very clearly. It wasn't external. I knew it was internal, but it said it didn't work for you. Now, you've done too much. You know, you had your shot at God and you walked away from Him, and now it's too late for you. I mean, you know, that's the kind of thing I heard. And I don't want to get into that war. I had to hang on to the Word of God against every emotion and every thought to the contrary for like 3 days until finally even I knew I was saved. Okay? But what I do want to talk about is this light that came into me. This life In those days, it was 12 more years before we would ever meet Pastor Dave and start attending the prayer center and start hearing the things that we know now. But in those days, that witness, that, let's say it this way, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. When he lit my candle, I received something I did not have the day before. And that was a conscience of the new nature. Now you ought to write this down. Your conscience is the voice of your new nature. It is given to you to light your path. The Holy Spirit, he brings illumination that's different. Dave says it this way in his book. He says, you are one person. The Holy Spirit is another person. Now he gave you that life, that light on the inside of you, so that you always, when it comes to moral things, could I say love things, when it comes to that kind of a walk, you have a light already on the inside of you. See? Now, there's a lot of times when, let's see, how does Dave say that? You don't have any way, even with that new nature, you don't know things beyond yourself. See, the Holy Spirit, he can give you somebody's address. He can give you a name. He can give you an assignment. He can send you to this city, that city. That kind of leadership comes from the Holy Ghost. But when it comes to your walk, when it comes to moral decisions, you have a light already on the inside of you. And the voice of that new creature is your conscience. Okay? Go to 1 John chapter 3. See, a lot of people, I tell you what, I went through a season, don't ask me how long ago, not that long ago, I went through a season where I was having a hard time obeying God. I know none of you ever have that problem, but I was, and I just kept missing it, and I knew I was missing it, and I kept missing it again, and then I'm not going to miss it no more, and then I'd miss it, and I started getting condemned. Anyone ever get condemned? I mean, to the point, I was actually, the thing was, I wonder if I'm even saved. Anyone ever be like that? I wonder if I'm even saved, And because it was just this constant condemnation. And I thank God. Finally, I ran across this verse again. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 19. Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, not the Holy Ghost, if your spirit man, what if I put, if your conscience condemns you, God is greater than your heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then have we confidence toward God. Now, the Holy Spirit for the believer is not the one, he's not the one convicting you or condemning you when you sin. We're quiet in here when I... No, he gave you a conscience for that. It's your spirit. You already have a light and a guide on the inside of you, and he knows when you're sinning. He knows when you're in disobedience, and it's your own spirit that's condemning you. And the wonderful thing was, I went, oh, that is impossible unless you are born again. Without that, you're the guy in Romans 7. You don't even know what's wrong to covet unless God's word externally tells you. So if you're going around feeling condemned, hallelujah, you're saved. You might be in disobedience, but you're saved. Because that's not the Holy Ghost condemning you. That's your new nature on the inside saying, straighten up. Isn't that good news? Was for me, even in my rebellion. Oh God, I am saved. I really am saved. That's glory to God. There's a new nature in there. That's what's causing that. Okay, I think I'll obey him. And the war resumes. Amen. Isn't that good? Yeah. I'm going to go to Romans 2. We're going to get a lot in this one session here now. Romans 2. Verses 14 through 16. For when the Gentiles, who have not the law, do by nature, and you ought to underline that word nature, do by nature the things contained in the law, These, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written where? In their hearts. See, he's talking about these Gentiles who have been born again. He's writing this to Jewish Christians in Rome. They were familiar with the law, but these Gentiles, they never had these swine, how Dave says that, these swine-eating Gentiles, they never heard the law one day in their life. Then all of a sudden they get saved, they get born again, and suddenly there's something in them that's causing them not to lie, not to steal, not to bear false witness, not to covet. And he's going, where's that coming from? It's coming from a nature. They're doing it by the nature they receive from God. A law written in their hearts. See, that's Hebrews chapter 10. God says, I will write my law in their hearts and in their minds. I will be to them a God. They shall be to me a people. Their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Well, that's what's happened here, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. That's that new man. That instant you got born again, that new man on the inside was created in righteousness and true holiness. The law of God is written in its brain, if you'll allow me. Their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. In other words, every thought, there's a new nature on the inside. There's a conscience, which is the voice of that new nature. And it's either, yeah, that's okay. I'll excuse that. Yeah. Nope. Accuse that thought. That's not okay. Nope. Don't do that one. And that's how you learn to walk. So like I said, let's go back to those thrilling days of yesteryear when I first got born again and I was so emotionless and there was just, I had a 3-day battle just to even believe I was saved anyway. But in those first 2 weeks now, first, I wish I'd have kept better records, but I know it was less than a month. Our lives were so radically changed. And at no time in there do I remember hearing a voice the same way that I hear a voice today. This was so many years before we heard distinguishing God's voice, and I didn't know anything about that. But I had something on the inside that was my light that I did not have before. And I had my house at that time, we lived in the right part of town, driving the right kind of cars and the right kind of job, and everything on the external looked wonderful, but on the inside, we were dead as doornails and big-time sinners, okay? And I had a pornography collection that I was so proud of. Now, y'all look at me now, and you go, who is this old guy? I wasn't old then. I was 33 years old. Come on. All right? And I was proud of it. I would show it off to people that came to the house, because I bought the little plastic covers and kept them all in pristine condition, you know? Sue says, quit saying that. And I said, no. Because it's part of my testimony. And I didn't hear a voice. I never heard God didn't come and write with his finger, thou shalt rid thy house of pornography. I didn't hear a voice telling me to do that. But something began condemning me on the inside. I wasn't even looking at it, just having it in the house. It was just in the house and something, it's not a voice exactly, but boy, does it communicate. And it communicates so clear. And I couldn't rest. I couldn't sleep. That's got to go. I got to get it out of the house. It's got to go. And sure enough, one day I packed it all up, put it in these garbage bags, away it went. Whew. I thought I was done. Now, again, as I mentioned things, I'm talking about things that he dealt with me on. And it's not saying, you know, it depends on what's an idol in your life. Right. See? For Sue and I, we were rock and roll music, the kind that we loved. Hallelujah. But in those days, it was an idol. It really was. We had it going all the time. That same conscience, that same knowing. I don't remember a voice at all. But again, here it comes again. You need to get that out of the house. You need to quit listening to that. It needs to go. You know, I didn't know it was for a season, but, you know, and I couldn't rest again. I mean, it's so clear. You know, don't tell me you don't hear him. Now, you're not hearing a voice maybe, but you are hearing him in your conscience unless you have work to sear it, and you can do that. Don't ask me how I know that. We may get to that in a minute. But I'm telling you right now, he'll help make, even if you ask him, He'll help you make that seared, old, scarred conscience tender again. I've been on both sides of that. Well, he started dealing with me about the music. It's got to go, you know. Jesus got to go. Boy, I fought that one a little more. Finally, the day came, though. Now, in those days, it was records, you know, plastic. We didn't have MP3s or any of that stuff. No, as before CDs, and it was plastic. Oh, God. Now, what I wish I would have done would... I should have put them in a safety deposit box, and then later I could have sold them. And anyway, here they went. I got rid of those two. And now y'all already know this. I hid one back. My Bad Company album, the black one with the white letters on the front. You know, bomb, bomb, bomb. Bad Company. What? I thought he didn't see me hide it. I hid it and then forgot that I hid it. I did. I forgot. I never listened to it again, but I did. I couldn't part with it. I hid it in a closet. I didn't rediscover it. I'd forgot all about it till we moved. When we moved, I found it again. Oh, by that time, I'm sorry, Lord. And it went too. Do you know, for nearly 20 years, we didn't have anything in our home to even play music on. For nearly 20 years. Didn't have anything. Finally, He looked at my heart or something, and he says, I'm going to let you have some of it back now because it's not an idol to you now. You can just enjoy it. And that's the way it is now. It's been that way for a while. Now, the point is, if we're going to follow God, a lot of people here at the prayer center, I think they've gotten to the point, I'm not going to do a thing until I hear a voice. That's not the primary way that God leads us. The primary way that he leads us is through the conscience, the voice of the new nature. And it's not... How do you describe that to somebody? You know, you tell a lie. Maybe just a little one. And you're walking away trying to get away with it. And immediately there's something on the inside. You're getting a whooping. And it's not God. See, at first you think that's the Holy Ghost. That's not the Holy Ghost. That's your own spirit. That's the one he gave you. That's got a, and his voice is that conscience. And you're not, it's not words, but boy, does it communicate in real plain. You know exactly. And you can't get away with that. And you have to turn around and go back. All right, so here's a prophecy that came quite a while back now, not through me. This was from the year 2000. Well, hallelujah. If we've let some things drop along the way that are valuable, we got to pick those up and carry them with us into revival. Amen. There's no title on this one, but it says, you have desired to know my voice. You have desired to walk after me in the foremost way that I lead. And because you have been confused time after time and could not see the leadership of my spirit, this I would say, says the Lord. Listen to my inner witness. For the inner witness is the first and foremost way that I lead my children. Listen to the inner witness. But oh, hear what the Spirit would say, that the inner witness works hand in hand with the conscience that I gave to you when you received a new nature. The reason most people quit hearing my voice in the form of the leadership of the inner witness is that they sear their conscience because they decided to walk a certain way, and they walk that way, and they walk that way until their conscience was seared. And then they say, I would have your direction, but my direction cannot come because it is your conscience that I use in the inner witness, says the Lord. Oh, but return. Return to the prayer life that you had when you edified yourself above those things. No man can walk with the seared conscience and continue in the edification process that I have given him. Because you'll come out, your conscience will wake back up, and my leadership will be sure, along with my wisdom, says the Lord. So hear, one of the most valuable things you can have is to be able to turn left when I say turn left, turn right when I say turn right, go forward, when I say go forward, to leave this alone or to pick this up. For you can be successful on just where I lead you alone, much less the victories I have in store for you, says the Lord. Isn't that good? That is really good, see. I remember the time quite a while back. This was before we met Pastor Dave. This was before we were ever at the prayer center. I was minding my own business, sitting in my easy chair, watching the news, I think, in the evening. And suddenly, get up. Go get in the pickup. Drive that direction. Turn right. Went a certain distance. Turn left. Turn right. Led me right to this house. Pulled up in the driveway. There was no car in the driveway. Never been to this house in my life. Go knock on the door. I went and knocked on the door, and my daughter Erin answered it, and she was not supposed to be there. Now, what are the odds? Coincidence? No. All the homes in Tulsa, and God takes me, turn left, turn right, knock on that door. Yeah. I don't know what the devil had planned for her that evening, but whatever it was, it got disrupted. Daddy showed up. And that happened one other time, too. Well, don't we love that kind of leadership? See? And we've got to have that for where we're going. Hand in hand with that conscience comes the love walk. Your conscience is one of the best tools He has given us for walking in love towards people. Okay? I wasn't going to read this next one this time, but apparently He wants it read this time. So here's another prophecy. This one came in 2007, not through me. And it says, so many hunger and thirst, for they thirst with that kind of existence with me, the kind of flow and fellowship where things even out. It is not that the enemy changed, but that his tactics have less effect. The more that you walk in my love, the more even things will become, and the greater you will be able to hear my conscience in yours and walk according to how I lead you, says the Lord. Not only are you very aware of the inner witness, the conscience bearing witness, but wouldn't you know that much of my blessings and prosperity comes from the ability to communicate with them that can hear? So hear what the Lord would say. For it is His delight not only to exceedingly bless you, but to overflow through you, so that those who do not know how to receive can receive from the abundance of your supply, says the Lord. Now, walking the love walk. Let's use the example that time He had me give my pickup to my worst enemy. See, I know what it is to love by obedience. In my heart, I could find not much love for that guy. He was doing me and my family lots of harm. If God would have said, if I'd have heard a voice then say in like Luke 6, starting in verse, 27? Love your enemies, pray for them, do for them, be kind to them, turn the cheek to them, all of that. He says, I want you to do that to that guy. It would be strictly by obedience, because in my own heart, I wouldn't find much love. Okay? But as you do this message and spend time praying in other tongues, it's amazing how over time your heart changes, how you think about other people changes, even the enemies. Like right now, and I hate to even bring this up, but maybe I shouldn't. Well, let's just say it this way. No matter how wicked, I believe God was holding out salvation to Hitler to his last breath. Jesus died for everything he did. And I believe God was holding out salvation right to the last breath. I don't care who you are. For God so loved the world. See, and I think about the world. Not one single saved person on it. Not one. when Jesus died? There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Remember that? And God still loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten son. See, we keep wanting, the natural human wants to love people once they start acting lovely. But God loves us while we're yet sinners. Christ died for us, see? So what he's saying is your heart can develop more and more in that love. And as it does, listen again to that inner witness. You won't have to, oh yeah, I have to go pray for this guy because that's what the scriptures say. It'll be a natural love that's coming directly from the inside of you, see? Love also sometimes corrects. I don't think Paul was out of love when he turned that Corinthian guy that had his father's wife, turned him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit could be saved in the day of the Lord. I think that was an act of love, to rescue that guy from eternal damnation, see? Sometimes love can be tough love. But I digress. Hallelujah. I printed a little section out of Dave's book, The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power. This is on page 93. I know most of you have his book. You can read it later. This is called The Candle of the Lord. And he quotes that verse that we looked at, Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So he said, let's look at one more scripture regarding how the Holy Spirit communicates with us. Gives that verse. What an incredible statement. My human spirit is the part of me that is created in God's image. It is the candle of God. In other words, it is the part of me that the Holy Spirit ignites to illuminate my understanding of himself, imparting unto me revelation knowledge. What do we do with a candle? We don't have much use for one in a bright room. We light a candle when the room is dark. We put it on a tabletop, and it throws illumination into the entire room. With God's candle, our spirit man, the Holy Spirit searches out all the inward parts of the belly, all of the dark places in our lives that need the light of his truth. Pornography has to go. Idols of music have to go. Before long, within just a few days, alcohol had to go. Our lives, the bars, the desire to go spend, that was our whole life before that day. We worked hard and we could hardly wait till Friday night and we could start partying all weekend, you know, going to the bars and doing all that stuff. That whole thing had to go. It left all of that through that conscience that comes by the new nature. Even the desire for it, you know. He said that he lit our candle. That candle began searching every dark room inside of us. He said this is the same searching process that takes place in us as we pray in tongues. He who searches the heart knows the mind of God and makes intercession for us according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit teaches us everything that we cannot discern. He shows us mysteries and divine secrets that we need to know about God and his ways. He is our first and foremost teacher. If we let the Holy Ghost teach us, at times we will enter into different realms of anointings during prayer, such as tongues for interpretation or the deep groanings of intercession. There will be times when he will teach us mysteries during our prayer vigils. But no matter what happens in prayer, we will always come out the beneficiary if we yield our candle. I like that. If we yield our candle to the Holy Spirit, allowing him to illuminate our inmost parts with the light of his truth. Isn't that great? Now, what happens, though, in a practical way, when you start really praying in other tongues and allowing him to search all the inward parts of the belly, sooner or later, he comes to rooms that you locked the door on that room a long time ago. Even you don't go in that room. You don't know what's in there. You don't want to know what's in there. You don't want anybody else to know what's in there. You sure don't want God knowing like he doesn't know already. And that's when people fall out of prayer a lot of times. Especially, and this is not so much in our, yes, sir. Early days with Gary, many, many, many years before we walked through the doors of the prayer center. Y'all have heard me tell about this one man and woman who had done us, in my view, a lot of harm. A lot of harm. And I was reading the New Testament, and I came to that passage in Mark 11 where he says, "If you forgive not those who trespass against you, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses." And immediately, I saw their faces. And this time I did hear him. I heard him talking with me. This was more than the conscience, because I heard him. However that is, we were having a conversation on the inside. Now, I guess this is the Holy Ghost. I don't know, really. I just know it's God. And he began saying, "You know you're going to have to forgive them." And I'm going, "I don't want to forgive them. I mean, I don't want to forgive them." And he said, "Well, you're not going to go very far with me unless you do." "Well, I want to go far with you, but I do not want to forgive them." He said, "Well, you're going to have to forgive them. Can you read?" He didn't actually say that. "You're going to have to." Well, I said, "God, there's nothing in me that wants to forgive them. So then he asked me a question. Now, see, this is where his leadership comes. This is where your tutor comes in addition to your conscience. Because I don't think the conscience could have done this. This was the Holy Ghost coming to help me. And he says, "Would you be willing to forgive them if I could make you willing?" I remember I had to pause and think about that. It was like, okay, now, I'm not willing right now. But I guess if you could make me willing, then I guess then I would be willing. So, okay, if you could make me willing, then I would be willing, I guess. How in the world would that happen? He says, "Well, I just want you to begin every time you think of them, just pray for them and ask me to bless them." I said, "I don't want them to be blessed." I actually said this. "I want them to go to hell. I want them to," actually, I remember saying this, "I want them to die and I want to do the killing." How's that for God's love? No. He says, "Just ask that I bless them." The more I thought about it, I thought, well, I guess I don't really want anybody to go to hell forever, I guess. Okay, I guess I could pray that you bless them. So what he said was, "Every time I think of them." Have you ever tried not to think of something? I'm not going to think about, "Oh, man, there they are right there, you know. Okay, I call their names in front of you. Father, I'm asking you to bless them. And you know I don't really mean it." I added that part because I didn't want to be a hypocrite. And I knew he knew, and I didn't. But I was just doing it. See, this is what I'm talking about. Love by obedience. I'm just doing it. And it's very selfish because I want to go farther with God. I'm not doing it for their benefit. I'm doing it for mine. How selfish can you be? Pretty selfish. So this, every time I'd think of them, and I was trying not to think of them, so that means I thought of them a lot. I mean, several times a day. Okay, I thought of them again. "Father, I lift them up to you. I'm asking you to bless them. You know I don't mean it." But after a little while, something began happening in my heart. And I remember dropping that last part. "You know I don't mean it." I'd drop that. I'd go, "Okay. Well, all right. I guess you can bless them a little bit, you know. All right. Okay, go ahead and bless them, Father. I don't want them to go to hell anymore. I don't want to kill them anymore. Go ahead, you can bless them a little." Something. That process continued on. See, and it was only as I became obedient to do that. In my mind, up until that point, I was the total innocent person in that whole thing. These evil people had done me such harm. I was 100% right. They were 100% wrong. They needed to burn, baby, burn, you know. Only as I obeyed him and as he began opening up my heart just a little to his love for them, only then did he begin opening my eyes. showing me my part, where I had contributed to that whole thing. By the time that process was over, I wasn't praying forgiveness for them anymore. I was praying forgiveness for me. I said, oh my. And I was blind to it. I mean, if there was ever a perfect thing of Luke 6 where he says, can the blind lead the blind? You know, how can you get a beam, you know, a mote out of your brother's eye when you got a beam in your own? I mean, that was me to the T. I was so blind to my part. And but only as his love began to come did he show me my part. And before it was over, I was genuinely praying for them to be blessed, and now I'm praying for me to be blessed, okay? I'm telling you, that was 30 years ago. 30 years ago probably now, close to it. Those people live 3 blocks from my house. I don't want to say too much. We get along so well. When I'm out of town, they're the ones that check on my mother to see if she needs anything. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? My 93-year-old mother. I'm telling you, God, isn't that better than living for the last 30 years in strife and hatred? And see, if I had not have obeyed him then, I don't think there's a chance in the world that I would be in ministry today. I think I would have seared my conscience to the point I'd have a hard time following him. See, because for one thing, it would not have exposed that darkness in me that was there that needed to be purged. And I would still be carrying that around and wondering why I have trouble following him. See? Y'all getting anything out of this? Right. One more prophecy, and I think that's enough for tonight. Now, see, let me say it again. Your conscience is the voice of your spirit, man. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. That conscience, especially if you're walking tender-hearted towards God and walking in all the obedience that you, well, most of the obedience that you know. I don't know anyone that walks perfectly, but you know. If you're doing that, though, that conscience, the voice of your new nature, this one has a title, that new nature is a sure guide. Got that? It says, the new nature that you have in you, it is a sure guide. Listen to your conscience on the inside. It will take you from one place to another. It will cause you to overcome every time. It will cause you to overcome every time. It said that twice. It won't fail you because you have been changed and it has been made new. Your conscience is then a sure guide when you're born again because you have been freed from every sin. You have been made right with the Father above, and he desires to lead you in his love. And his love reaches out to those who are in need. So if you will listen, he will guide you, and men around you will begin to be free indeed. Go to 1 John chapter 3 again. Let me find that verse one more time. 19 through 21. Now see, to me it really helps. These verses that we read, hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him, for if our heart condemns us not, God is greater than our heart. So it's talking about our heart. It's talking about our conscience. All right? It really helps me to keep it in the context. Look at verse 17. Whoso has this world's good and sees his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Then those verses that we read, in other words, here's a person there. Now, he's not talking about a guy who can work and won't work and that type of thing. He's talking about where there's, it's through no fault of their own. There's need. And you have the ability to meet that need. So you don't need a word from God there. Your conscience is your guide. God does not... especially if there's little children involved. Now, you feed the children, I don't care what. Amen? And your conscience, you don't have to wait for a word from God. That's what he's talking about here. If you just ignore it and walk on by, you're going to get a whooping. And it's not really from God. It's that new man on the inside of you, see? It's that conscience. He's going, you can't walk by and let those kids go to bed hungry tonight. Come on. You can't do that, see? I recently heard a preacher on this very verse. He says, some of you have shut up your bowels of compassion to the point you have become spiritually constipated. He says, but did you know you can take a laxative of God's word and then you can experience a move of God? I thought it was hilarious. I liked it. But see, that is a perfect example of your conscience condemning you. You're walking by. You know that there's not food in the house. Or, you know, there's some real need there through no fault of theirs, okay? And you've got the means to meet that. You don't need to go fast and pray is what he's saying. You have a sure guide on the inside of you. You already know what to do. The love of God. He said, how can you walk by that and the love of God be in you? See, that tells you a lot about our Father. That means when you're in need, he don't like it. That's not God. God's love meets the need. You need to know that about your Father. And you're a chip off the old block. The apple didn't fall far from the tree. He likes to meet needs, and so do you. Amen? And if you don't, that conscience is going to talk to you about it. Now, it doesn't use words, but boy, it is an effective communicator. So say it with me. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. When I received his life, he lit my candle. And I am free to walk by that light. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. That concludes the lesson for this evening.